They say there is no I in team. They say that coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is a success. Together, we can serve our neighbor. Together, we can unify our community. Together, we can be light in the dark. Together, we can. We need each other. We rely on each other. We hold on to each other. Let's do this together.
We are better together. That's how God created and how God designed us. We've been designed and created to live in relationship. It's also the way in which God designed and created his church, that we would be better together. Scripture calls us the body of Christ. And when we come together, we're stronger, we're more effective, we're better. And that is abundantly clear this week. So we focus on the fact that we're better together when we do the work that God has given to us, the ministry that he has entrusted to us. What we couldn't do alone, together, we can accomplish incredible things in his name and for his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, one of the writers of the New Testament, knew this very well. In fact, it was a theme in several of his letters. This morning, we're going to take a look at his letter to the church at Ephesus, specifically chapter 4. And we're going to walk through chapter 4 as Paul demonstrates to us that we are indeed better together. The first thing Paul says is that we are all equally parts of the body. And one isn't more important than the other, that all of us are on equal ground. And he establishes it by this. He says that we are all called to faith. Each one of us is called to faith. It isn't something that we seek out God, but God has sought us out. So let's take a look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So every one of us has been called into faith, just like Chloe was called into faith through the waters of baptism. Perhaps it was at your baptism that God reached out and captured your heart. Perhaps it was the Word of God that was shared that reached out. But each one of us has been the target of God to call us into a relationship with Him, because God knew that we would not seek Him out. We could not come to Him. Instead, He comes to us. So we are all called to faith. And then God calls us to unity. He wants us to be one. So let's take a look now at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There's some really great things happening there. I think the Apostle Paul must have took a long time when he wrote those couple of verses, because there's a lot packed into it. Did you notice the Trinitarian formula that was there? He says there is one God, and yet he says there's one Spirit, one Lord, one Father. So he talks about the perfect unity of the Godhead. There is one God who's in perfect relationship with himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The other thing that he's doing here, he uses the word one 7 times. In the Bible, the number 7 is very significant. It signifies completion. It signifies perfection. So in these few verses, St. Paul is making the case. He says God is looking for us to be united. Just as God is united and God is one, he wants his people to be one as well. Jesus himself actually prayed for that. If we go to the Gospel of John, this is called his high priestly prayer. He's praying to his Father in heaven. He says this, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So again, he goes to the idea of the Godhead, the Trinity, being one. And now he says, and I want all of my people to be one as well. All right? So God calls us to faith, but then he calls us to be united with one another. And then he calls us to put up with one another. Frankly, that's what he does, to put up with one another. Because we're still living this side of heaven, which means we're still going to do dumb things. And we're going to hurt one another. We're going to say things that we regret. You know, sometimes people come up to me and they're shocked. They're shocked that a fellow church member would say such a thing to them. Or that another Christian would do such a thing to them. Well, as much as I may not like it, it doesn't shock me. Because we're still living this side of heaven. We're still sinful human beings. We do things that we regret. We say things that we shouldn't say. Right? So St. Paul is urging us, let's put up with one another. This is how he puts it, maybe a little bit better. Verse 2, he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So what God's saying through Paul is that we are going to hurt each other. We are going to do sinful things. But let's deal with one another in patience, in humility, and in love. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to be a doormat and let everybody walk all over us. No, that's not it at all. What he's saying is, for the unity that God wants, the unity of the Spirit, he says, can't we treat each other a little bit better? And can't we approach each other in love and in respect? So if somebody does something that hurts me, I can speak the truth to them, but I speak it in love and concern for them. Or if I've done something to somebody else, to be able to walk up and ask for forgiveness for what I've done. And if somebody has harmed me, to forgive them for what they've done. That's what he's saying. Can't we exercise some patience, humility, and love so for the unity of the body of Christ, that we would put up with one another? The second thing St. Paul points out is this. We are uniquely gifted. In fact, individually, you are all individually uniquely gifted by God. Let's go again back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7 says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. A recurring theme, because if you go to his letter to the church at Corinth, he puts it this way. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one another kind. Right? So he's saying every person's been created and has a gift from God. So do me a favor today, as you're leaving church, please, no one say, oh, no, Pastor, I don't have any gifts. I'm not good at anything. Right? That's simply not true. And frankly, it's a little insulting to God. God created you to be the unique person that you are. Scripture says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. And he has gifted each one of you in unique ways that feeds into the whole. So instead of denying the giftedness that you have, why not try and identify? So what is this unique makeup that God has inside of me? There's three questions that I think are really helpful to do that, to figure out, so what is it that might be my uniqueness, my gift? The first question is this: what are you good at? What comes naturally to you? See, this is probably the reason you don't recognize it as a gift. For you, it's no big deal. For somebody else, it could be a huge challenge. So on staff, Pastor Mark is a whiz at math. We'll be sitting in the staff meeting, and we'll have like a six-digit number to add to another six-digit number, and he just pops it out. We all just stop in our tracks and go. But to him, it's nothing. Comes naturally to him. What comes naturally to you? What is it that you're really good at? Are spreadsheets your friend, right? Is leadership something that you do well, right? Do you have an empathetic ear that you can listen for an hour to a friend, pour out their heart, and stay connected with that? Do you have the gift of hospitality? You love to entertain. Do you have the gift of cooking? I mean, any number of things, right? Ask yourself, what is it that you're good at that comes naturally? Then the second one, the follow-up, is what is it that you enjoy? So there may be several things that comes naturally to you, but some things you enjoy doing more than others. What gives you a great deal of satisfaction? What is it that if you choose, yeah, this is what you would rather be doing, right? So that's the second thing. Then the third one is, what do others compliment you about? So what do others notice? What do they identify as your gifts? I'm telling you, if you've got one thing that you can answer for all three of those questions, that's a trifecta. That's your giftedness. That's how God has made you. It comes naturally to you. You enjoy doing it, and others, they see it in you. So you're gifted uniquely and individually. But you're gifted to contribute. You're gifted to contribute to the whole. That's why God brings us together as the body of Christ. But understand this, one gift is not more important than the other. Just like one part of the body is not more important than the other. They're all equal. They just have different roles. They have different functions. All right, an example. So football season is just around the corner, right? They're all in camp this week. So what is it that every team, every commentator, they always focus on one person? What position? Quarterback, right? Everybody focuses on the quarterback. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can have a great quarterback, but if you don't have an offensive line to defend him, you're not going to win any games. Just ask last year's Cardinals. Right? You can have a great quarterback, but if you don't have any receivers that can actually catch the ball, you're not going to win any games. I would refer you again to last year's Cardinals. Right? It's the team effort. Some positions may be more visible than others, but all are equally important. The guy up here preaching is no more or less important than the person who gave you your worship folder. In fact, oftentimes, it's the people that you don't see that actually makes every worship service work, right? It was the altar guild that nobody noticed that had everything ready for the baptism. There was water, there was a little towel to dry her head as she scowled at me, right? All of it was right there, waiting, right? How about the service team leaders who organize everything? How about the guys back in the tech booth, right? The lights, the screens, all of that. We couldn't do a service. You see what I'm saying? All of us have a role. One is not more important than the other. So we're each uniquely, individually gifted. And if we had to look at things alone, that would be overwhelming. But together accomplishes great things. It does incredible things, right? How many of you had kids in band when they were in grade school? Do you remember those days? Do you remember like the first couple weeks that they brought the instrument home? I do. Right? They'd practice diligently. I'd go outside, right? And all the girls, they complained, right? They says, but it doesn't sound like a song. I personally agreed. Not the quality. They were only playing their little part, their one instrument. And always when the whole band came together and they gave a concert, every time I was blown away. Because individually, just listening to that clarinet, it was nice, but yeah. But now, part of the band, it was music. It was beautiful. That's what it is with the body of Christ. Yes, individually, we have our gifts. But when we bring them together, God does incredible things. You see, God, he says that we're to accomplish the ministry. He's given it to us. He equips us for that. St. Paul addresses that if we go down to verse 11. He says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The ministry of risen Savior belongs to you. The ministry of risen Savior belongs to you. And I'm just walking alongside of you. Yes, God established the office of the public ministry. Okay? But that was just to equip the saints to do the ministry. We partner together. We work alongside one another. We walk alongside of one another. And we do the ministry that God has given to us here. He's equipped us for that. And then God, he wants to utilize us. He wants to use us to expand his kingdom. I love the way that St. Paul sort of summarizes this whole section. Verse 16, he says this, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When everyone is using their giftedness, when we're brought together in the unity of the body of Christ, then that causes the kingdom and the body to grow. When we are working together, I would contend that our relationship grows with God, our relationship grows with one another, and I believe that our relationship grows with our community. If you look at the early church, you read the book of Acts, on more than one occasion, it says that the believers, that they enjoyed the favor of all the people because they saw how they loved one another, how they cared for one another. And it always ends this way, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Nothing has changed from the early church to today. When our community sees the group of believers at risen Savior, when we love one another, when we serve alongside of one another, when we help one another, the community will be in their favor, and I believe that God will add to our numbers daily those that are being saved. My friends, we have a tremendous opportunity coming at us. Within a year, give me 14 months, we'll have the new building on the north property. What an incredible opportunity. What an incredible opportunity as our community, right? As they see dust flying, they see buildings going up. Just on sheer curiosity, they're going to know, what are the believers doing over there? What's happening at Risen Savior? That opens up the doors for us. Now, individually, that's overwhelming. But together, it's exciting. Can you imagine someone who doesn't know the love of Jesus coming to faith because of our ministry? Someone who has fallen away from God, disengaged, all of a sudden re-engaged and reignited because of our ministry. That's all ahead of us. Individually, we can't do it. But as the body of believers, as the body of Christ, all using our gifts, God will do incredible things through us and in us because we're better together. Let's do this. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us into a faith relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us. We pray that we would discover those gifts and we would use those gifts and we would unite together to do the work that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.